सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवै वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्री गणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः।
So you are doing fundraising for a charitable organization and you go to a millionaire and tell him, sir, we need you to help us in our charitable function and would you please donate to us $100? And he'll give you $100, but in his mind he will be thinking, look at these people, I was ready to give a lot more, I could have given up to $1,000. But if all they want is 100, okay, they can have it. So similarly, you and I go to God whenever we have a problem. And then we say, God, take care of this problem, that problem. And once the problem is resolved, then we say, okay, it's okay. Now I don't need you. Next time I have a problem, I'll come back. And so that is our relationship with God. We consider him a problem solver or maybe an ATM machine. When I need something, I'll go there and then otherwise I don't have any. That's why last week we had read, Ananyas Chintayanto Maam Ye Jana Paryupasate Tesham Nitya Bhiyuktanam. Nitya, constantly one has to be self-controlled. Have one single thought in mind, and that is God and God alone. Or whatever it is that we want to accomplish, have the single pointed thought, effort, put effort in that direction. And the third is self-control, nitya abhiyuktanam. When we have these three factors, then success is guaranteed, whether it's in the material field or in the spiritual field. Here, of course, we are talking about God, and he says, Tesham yoga kshema vahamyaham. Then I give them what they need and also help them to maintain it. That's what we had spent an hour last week talking about it. And we had said that God can appear in three forms. One is we can see that whoever is coming in my life is being sent by God. And so we look at everybody as a manifestation of God, and joys and sorrows both are meant for my spiritual growth. Second way of looking at is God himself is coming through this individual. And the third, and then in that case, I have no likes or dislikes. I see only one. And then the third is that God is my own self and is the self of all. So God and I are not separate. So like Arjuna, what he said, Yat Shreyo Syat Nishchitam Bruhi Tanme. He says, tell me what is good for me and for all. That is what's the meaning of Shreyas. Shreyas is not only what is good for me, but what is good for all. And that is what we should ask God. That God, I don't know what is good for me, what is not. Whatever is good, I know you will do it. You will give it to me. And whatever comes, we accept it as a prasad, as a coming from God. And so that is the attitude with which we should approach the reality. So they say, okay, what these people who do ananya chintayan and have all these qualities and nitya abhiyukta and all, you take care of their yoga kshema. Okay, who takes care of those who are not ananya? They have anya. Anya means they want God and also they want other things. I want this, 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 and also I want God. So that is anya chintana. There are many factors. So Bhagavan says, who takes care of them? I do. Where do they get their yoga kshema? They get it from me, but they just don't know it. Or he says, how about abhaktas who don't even believe in you, who don't even say there is no God and there is nothing. This world is running on its own. Who provides their yoga kshema? Bhagavan says, who? I do. Where do you think all this comes from? Whatever you are acquiring, these plants, these, you know, whatever, in these oil in the ground, all these industries, all these chemicals, everything comes from me, the knowledge comes from me. But we think that I am the doer, I did it, and it is my effort because of which I got successful. Yes, we have to put effort, but we also have to constantly remember that there is God behind us. Because of his grace, everything is happening. That's what they say. And then we wonder, you know, who is going to, if I don't take care of my needs, then what will happen? So Guru Nanak Ji says it very beautifully. I would like to quote him. He says, you know, you see that moss growing on the side of the plant, of the pond. There is a pond and you see some moss growing on the side. Who takes care of that moss? Do you do? No, God does. If he can take care of that little moss on the side of the lake, if he can take care of the insects and the plants and the grass, and don't you think he'll take care of you? You are the root and crown of creation. You are his best, you know, creation. So one should not be overly concerned about these. That's what the essence of this shloka is, that my goal should be reaching God, and this is what we will talk today. And so they said there are three groups. One is who have complete faith in God. Other one is in between, and other one is who have zero faith. God says, I alone take care of all three, and it is through me that whatever you get is my creation. Whatever you see in this universe, I have created. And whatever you are eating, drinking, using, everything is my gift to you. That's what Gurudev says. What I have is God's gift to me. And what I do with what I have is my gift to God. So if we want to pay him back, we have to make all efforts to make this world a better place, improve ourselves, and then improve others. So this is a brief summary of last week's teachings. We'll now go on to three more verses which tell us about, God is telling us who he is, who Sri Krishna is, or who that supreme reality is. So that's what we will study from verse number 23, chapter 9, verse number 23. Ye pyanya devata bhaktaha
ye
यजन्ते श्रद्धयान्विताः तेऽपि मामेव कौन्तेय यजन्त्यविधिपूर्वकम्. ओके, विल ऑल चैंट टुगेदर. येऽप्यन्यदेवता भक्ताः यजन्ते श्रद्धयान्विताः तेऽपि मामेव कौन्तेय यजन्त्यविधिपूर्वकम्. सो ये मीन्स् दोस् पीपल् आर् दीस् पीपल्. पी मीन्स् दे आल्सो. हू वट् डू दे डू? दे डोण्ट् वर्शिप् यू भगवान् श्रीकृष्ण, बट् दे वर्शिप् अदर् गाड्स्. अन्य देवता भक्ताः, सो दे वर्शिप् अदर् गाड्स्. यजन्ते श्रद्धयान्विताः, एण्डौड् वित् फेथ्. सो विथ् फेथ् दे आर् वर्शिपिङ्ग् गाड्. बट् हौ अबौट् इफ् दे डोण्ट् वर्शिप् श्री कृष्ण? हौ अबौट् इफ् दे वर्शिप् राम्, और् शी वर्शिप् लार्ड् शिवा, और् जीसस्, और् बुद्धा? वाट् अबौट् देम्? दे आर् वर्शिपिङ्ग् विथ् फेथ्, यु नो. सो वेन् ही सेस् ऐ, देट् इस् वाट् वी हेव् टु अण्डर्स्टेण्ड्. सो भगवान् सेस् तेऽपि, दे आल्सो, माम् एव, मी अलोन्, ओ कौन्तेय, ओ अर्जुन, यजन्ति, दे आल्सो वर्शिप् मी अविधिपूर्वकम्. अविधिपूर्वकं मीन्स् विद् द रोङ्ग् मीन्स्, नाट् विद् द रैट् मीन्स्. सो देन् सम्बडी मे आस्क्, सो इस् ही सेयिङ्ग् देट् यू केन् ओन्ली वर्शिप् मी श्री कृष्ण, यू केनाट् वर्शिप् राम् और् जीसस् और् बुद्धा? और् नो, वाट् भगवान् इस् सेयिङ्ग् इस् वेन् ही सेज़् मी in the Bhagavad Gita, whenever he says me, he is not talking about me as Shri Krishna, the son of Devaki and Vasudev, the, you know, the flute player of Vrindavan, the, you know, all the activities that he did. When he's talking about mam or aham, he's talking about the one substratum, that there is one substratum, one reality on which all this whole universe is playing, and all divine manifestations are manifestations of that one, whether it's Sri Ram or Sri Krishna or Mother Durga or any of these manifestations. What this supreme reality has done, take multiple forms so that we can choose the one that is my Ishta Devta, the one I love the most. And it is fine to worship that one, but one has to have tolerance. That's what Gurudev says, that the idea is that whichever form you worship is okay, but I should not become fanatical. I should say, if somebody worships Sri Krishna and somebody Ram and somebody Jesus and somebody Allah, it's not that one is superior and another one is inferior. It's not that I have to convert others to my religion before they can, you know, be freed from hell, or that somebody who doesn't believe my faith should be killed or should be. And that's what they say, that respect all forms of God, but do not become fanatical. Do not say that Krishna alone is true and anybody else either should change or will go to hell. So having that tolerance, that it doesn't matter which form of God I worship, I respect all forms, and I may have a particular form that I love, and that I, but again, in that form, you don't only limit God to that form alone, but see God as the substratum of all. And this Bhagwan that I am worshipping represents that, and we'll talk more about that in the next verse. So there is a very beautiful shloka that describes Sri Krishna, which says, Sachidanand Rupaya Vishvotpatyadi Hetave Tapatraya Vinashaya Sri Krishnaya Vayam Numaha. So he says, I prostrate to that Sri Krishna. Who is that Sri Krishna? Sat Chit Anand. That means Brahman. It is Brahman alone, the universal reality, appeared in this form. Sachidanand Rupaya Vishva Utpatyadi Hetave. He is the cause of this entire universe of creation, sustenance, and dissolution. You say, wait a minute. Didn't you say Brahmaji is the creator, Vishnuji is the sustainer, and Lord Shiva? So what we are saying is that all three are manifestations of that one. And by worshipping Lord Krishna with devotion, all my sorrows will be removed. Tapatraya Vinashaya Shri Krishnaya Vayam Namaha. So we worship Shri Krishna. Somebody says, I worship Ram. And that's what they say in Ramayana. Throughout it is said, Ramchandra Ji is the supreme reality and all other gods worship him. Ganesh Ji, when Ganesh Atharva Shirsham, they say Ganesh Ji is supreme. He is the creator, sustainer, destroyer, and everybody else prostrate. They say even when Lord Shiva needs to go for some work, he has to worship Lord Ganesha so that his obstacles may be removed. So the idea is that whichever form of God I choose to worship, that is the totality, that is the supreme. Talking about Sri Ganesha reminds me of a little story. So there was this man who was a great devotee of Lord Ganesha. Every day used to pray to him, bring flowers, fruits, modak, you know, those sweets. And for years he worshipped Lord Ganesha, and Ganesha didn't appear, didn't bless him. He kept saying, Lord Ganesha, please appear. Ganesha didn't. So he said, Ganesha ji is useless. So he put the statue on one side and brought a statue of Lord Shiva with a shivling. He said, I'll worship his father. Maybe his father will manifest. So with great devotion, he starts worshipping Lord Shiva. And Ganesha, he has not put him out, but he's in one corner of his prayer room. And so one day he lights this dhupa, you know, this smoke, this agarbatti. And the smoke is going in the air, and then all the smoke is going into Ganeshji's, you know, snout in the elephant tip of that. And all the smoke is going there and nothing is going to Lord Shiva. He said, what is this? I'm worshipping Lord Shiva and all the smoke is going to Ganesha. Why is he taking all that? I already told him he's not good for anything. And so he takes cotton and puts it in the Ganesha ji's snout, blocks it so that the smoke may not go. Immediately, Lord Ganesha appears and he sees this light, and Lord Ganesha is there and he's blessing him. He said, he bows down. He said, Bhagavan, so many years I worshipped you and you didn't come. And now when I put you on one side and I block your nostrils, that time you come and bless me. Ganesh ji says, because all these years you worship me as a stone statue, that there is this statue of Ganesha I'm worshipping. But today you recognize that I am a power, and you saw that I am a life power. That's what the Lord is. Lord is not only inert in that statue, but God is life. He is consciousness. So that is how we have to worship God, that he is the source of everything, and everything that is happening is coming from him. So when he says avidhi purvakam, means agyana purvakam, it is out of ignorance. Why? Because we have a very limited understanding of God. What is our understanding? That God is this and this alone, and we don't see him as the totality. We don't see him as the substratum. We don't see God as universal. We don't see God in every form. We may see God in the temple or in the church or in the mosque, but when we go out and when we face problems, joys and sorrows, then also we have to see God's hand. And once you start doing that, you will see God's hand everywhere, because everything that is happening because of God's grace. That's why they say even a leaf cannot move without his permission. That is what one of the Upanishads says. So what it means is that whatever is happening, there is a great power behind it. It is because of that power. And constantly seeing that and being grateful, what will happen is that as you develop this feeling of gratitude, one of my students who used to come to the meditation class, and they moved to the coast, and he starts his meditation every morning with an attitude of gratitude, where 5 minutes he spends in just thanking God. And what happens is that when you develop this attitude of gratitude, you will find that your mind becomes so pure, become so accepting, become so, you know, peaceful that, God, it is because of you that everything is happening. And then if you start your day with that attitude of gratitude, then your whole day will be there. You will be seeing God everywhere, in everything, and in all that. Then Gurudev also says that when they talk about Anya Devata, sometimes people consider Devata as the material powers. So if there is a minister and I'm going to him for a contract, or there is a governor or a politician or a big businessman and I'm going to him for a job or for a contract, or I am, you know, there is a, I buy some land and then I dig there for oil and then I find oil. So these people worship material things as powers, whether it's a governor, whether it's a president, whether it's the land that is my agriculture, whether it's the oil, whether it's industrialist. So what Gurudev says, that those who worship material objects as they are giving me whatever I have, and as they say, oh, I got a job, I'm thankful to this person. Yes, you have to be grateful, but you have to understand that behind this person who has given me the job, it is God who is giving me this job. Whatever is happening in my life, that oil that is coming out of my land, it is God's presence. If I buy agriculture and there is a very fertile land and a lot of growth happens and my crop is very good, again, thank you, Bhagwan, for sending the rain. Thank you for, you know, nourishing the ground. Thank you for giving me. But Gurudev says that, but if we don't, and if we think that the material objects alone are going to give me joy, then sooner or later, what is giving me joy will give me sorrow. Because nothing is permanent. Whatever is temporarily giving me joy, sooner or later, when that either that thing goes away, or it's temporary, everything is temporary, or when I have to leave it. I have a house and land and all, but when it's time for me to leave, if I think it is mine, then it will be sorrow. So whatever comes from the world may give us temporarily joy, but eventually will lead to sorrow. That's why Bhagavan Sri Krishna says that when you worship material objects or people or, you know, situations, you are worshipping me avidipurvakam. Again, whatever you are getting, even in the material world, it is me who is giving it to you. So when you bow down to these individuals or these people, you are actually, it is me who is behind. Only thing is, you are doing it avidipurvakam. You're doing it the wrong way with the wrong methods. So constant remembrance that there is one reality because of which everything is happening. So that's what Bhagavan says. And even when you worship other devatas, other forms of God, you are worshipping that one supreme reality, that one Brahman, and all prayers go to him. Everything goes to him or her or that, because Brahman, again, is neither male nor female, does not belong to any, does not have any form, does not have any shape, any color, any qualities, but it is that supreme. And we'll talk more about that Brahman in the next verse, where we will talk, where Bhagavan will describe more about who is this I that he is referring to.